listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire, broadcasting to you from Los Angeles County. And it could be, you could be listening live, or you could be listening anytime, day or night, anywhere in the world or any state in the USA. Now, on today's program, we're going to do something that's a simple exercise. It's like very easy. And that is an exercise you've probably heard of called connecting the dots. And yet, despite the fact that this is such an overwhelmingly simple thing to do, the number of people who do that are minuscule. They're like almost non-existent. They're a dying breed, like the dinosaurs. Well, I don't care whether I'm a dying breed like the dinosaurs or not. I know that it's possible by just spending a little bit of time reading, researching, listening to people I trust, listening to experts I trust. And by the way, that means aggressively rejecting people who call themselves experts who are not, and I don't trust. So we have a choice. We can either live our lives, there's some rock and roll song with the words dazed and confused. We can live our lives in a state of consciousness that can be described as dazed and confused, where we don't really understand much of anything. That's where like 95% minimum of Americans live and the population of planet Earth lives. They live in that esoteric zip code, that mysterious place where everything that they perceive and they see is just a bunch of meaningless, abstract, well, it's meaningless. It's like you're walking into a room and you brought in a stack of puzzle games for little kids to play with. And then you had to go out of the room to get something or whatever. And when you come back into the room, all the puzzle pieces from about five different games are literally like somebody threw them up on the ceiling, and the puzzle pieces just landed randomly all over the place. So you can't make any sense of it. I mean, you have maybe some ideas, but what you're looking for, if you're looking for truth, you're looking for truth. So if you're looking for truth, you're looking for a truthful or accurate presentation of reality, so that you can not only perceive it, but most importantly, you can understand it. Because you see, if you understand it, then you are safeguarded. Not a good word, but you understand what I'm saying. So somebody has to connect the dots. So what we have, and I'm laughing to myself as I'm sharing this with you, because as soon as I said the words, what we have, my mind flashed back to that old classic movie with the actor Paul Newman. It was called Cool Hand Luke, and Paul Newman was in the southern prison, serving time in a southern prison gang. And they had, I believe they had their, you know, striped outfits, and the humidity was skyrocketing and it was sweltering heat. And they had to build a road. And the warden of this prison was a tough southern guy. And he got together all the prisoners and he looked at them and said something to the effect of, "What we have here is a failure to communicate." So that's a private joke that I laughed at. You may not even think it's funny. I think it's funny. because it's sarcasm. And that line, some of you were maybe too young to have experienced that movie, but it was a classic. And that line was a classic line that was, people would pull that line out of the movie and say it all the time. What we have here is a failure to communicate. So that's what you're dealing with, and what I'm dealing with is that when you have a whole bunch of dots that don't represent anything meaningful and you can't understand them, they don't do you a whole lot of good. So those words echo true. What we have here is a failure to communicate. Why? Because we don't know how to connect the random meaningless dots and put them together in a coherent, like, puzzle piece. Do you understand what I'm saying? And unless you have somebody or you yourself can do that, unless you can connect the dots or somebody you go to can connect the dots, what you're going to be looking at is a meaningless, confusing abstraction. Just a bunch of meaningless dots or meaningless puzzle pieces. So, there has to be in our society an increasing number of people that have the ability, the knowledge, the understanding, the power, and the spirituality to take all those dots, which represents this massive diversity of information, and put the dots together so it assembles into a very crystal clear picture that communicates something real, like it could be a picture of a lake and a little waterfall and trees and, you know, like golden shimmering light filtering through the beautiful green leaves of the trees and a kind of harmonious stillness as you can hear the gentle waterfall. And that's soothing and it alleviates tension because when you're looking at a bunch of fragments like dots that don't connect or puzzle pieces that don't connect, that creates a certain amount of internal tension in you, and it creates a buildup of frustration because looking at dots that you can't connect or puzzle pieces that you can't connect doesn't do you any good. There's no information being communicated to you that can empower you to be proactive, to gain knowledge, which is power, and there's nothing being communicated to you that's meaningful so that you can make decisions ahead of time and avoid trouble and danger and so on and so forth. Now, that's really simple, but we have so few in our society that have that capacity anymore. And I spent a lot of time thinking about this and pondering it and reading about it. And for me, this subject matter is very, very personal. It's personal because, you know, God creates all of us with different abilities or different gifts or talents. We're all created differently by God. We're all created uniquely by God. And there's a very high percentage of people in our world and our nation right now who would fit into the following category. These are people by the millions, I suppose. These are people who are gifted at things like micromanagement or understanding micro systems. These are people who flourish in the age of specialization because their knowledge, their talents and abilities are really not all that comprehensive or diverse. Their knowledge and abilities that are tuned into a world that requires specialization. Now, again, this is very personal to me, and it may be personal to you, but I discovered a long time ago as a young kid, and it's just the way God created me, I discovered that I had a very enormous, intense, passionate interest, intellectual curiosity for not just a few areas of specialization, which is what the norm is, but my passion for knowledge, my desire for truth was one that would be called macro. In other words, the way my personality was created by God was that God gifted me to understand macro systems, which is just a fancy way of saying God equipped me to understand the big picture. Not a matter of boasting, it's just the way you're created. God created me to understand the big picture. God created me to walk in a room where there's all these fragments of puzzle pieces of diverse pictures, and yet I have a desire to look at it from a macro perspective and assemble the diversity of information into meaningful, comprehensive pictures. Most people in today's society don't have that because, once again, we're in an area of specialization. Now we're gonna take a leap, not a leap of logic. We're gonna take a leap into deeper logic for a moment. Why would you think that in our age there's a intense need for specialized training, specialized knowledge, and the need to compartmentalize information and data? Why is there this tremendous need for specialization and compartmentalization? Why? Well, that brings us to an even bigger picture. And to help those people that are new to listening to the Paul McGuire Report, if you're in America or you have a computer and you can look up and see what a U.S. $1 bill looks like, either on computer or cell phone, or you happen to have a $1 U.S. dollar bill on you, I want to ask you to pull it out and look at it. And we've done this before, but this illustrates something very powerful. And that is, it's an exercising in looking at a whole bunch of tiny dots, like puzzle pieces, assembling them together, so that it becomes a meaningful, crystal clear, coherent picture, which is then able to communicate to us knowledge. And when we have knowledge communicated to us, we then are the recipients of power. And that is what God wants. So, let's look. I'm looking at my wallet here. And looking for a dollar bill. And so, here's some dollar bills. And I want you to look at a dollar bill, and let's go through this simple exercise. It's really simple. You look at the back of the U.S. dollar bill, and you see on the left-hand side of it, you see a famous architectural structure. It's called a pyramid. So I'm looking on the back of a U.S. dollar bill, I see a pyramid. And then as I examine the pyramid more closely, I see that it's an unfinished pyramid in that there's a piece missing. And I see that at the very top of the pyramid, there is an all-seeing eye. It is sometimes described as the all-seeing eye of Horos or the all-seeing eye of Lucifer. So on the back of the U.S. dollar bill, $1 bill, we see a whole lot of occult symbols. And then we see the words "In God We Trust," which is put there to anesthetize Christians who don't know how to think. So back to the left-hand side of this pyramid structure. Now, architecturally, pyramid structures are called ziggurats. So this is both a pyramid structure and a ziggurat. And at the bottom, or the base of the pyramid, we see the words in Latin, Nuvus Ordo Seclorum, which means New Order of the Ages, or New World Order. So what we see in this pyramid is a symbol of the New World Order. But it's also a symbolic communication of the hierarchical structure, the hierarchical nature of the New World Order, in that the chosen symbol for the New World Order is a pyramid or a ziggurat. And when you see the way a pyramid looks, what you could do, if you wanted to, is you could superimpose an organizational flowchart from just about any company, government agency, military or whatever. All of the flowcharts are similar in that you have the largest number of people at the bottom, and then as you go up towards the top of the pyramid, it becomes narrower and narrower. And it's a hierarchy, the top to bottom. So at the very top, you have an elite. Now, the important thing to understand about the elite at the very top of the pyramid is that it is only this elite that have a large amount of knowledge. The people that are at the level of the all-seeing eye of Lucifer have an enormous amount of knowledge. The people below the all-seeing eye of Lucifer have fragmentary knowledge, like scattered puzzle pieces, like scattered dots. And the way a Luciferian control structure works, it's always on a need-to-know basis, which is just another way of saying it's all about compartmentalization. You keep the power structure intact. Satan is able to rule and reign planet Earth as the temporary god of this world. He's able to do that because he is incorporating a hierarchical control system where knowledge and power and information is only distributed to a select few at the top, and it's distributed purely on a need-to-know basis, which is another term for compartmentalization. You can go into any organizational structure or system. Again, military, social, political, or whatever, and you have a flow of power. The people with the greatest amount of knowledge are at the top of the control system. As you get to the bottom of the pyramid, you have less and less people who have an understanding and knowledge of what is happening beyond their little compartments. And those little compartments can exist in their brain or consciousness. It could exist in their office and where they are in the chain of command. So this is how the New World Order runs, by the way. That's why at the base of the pyramid, it's in Latin, it says Nuvos Ordo Seclorum, or New Order of the Ages, which means New World Order. So what we're seeing here is an organizational flowchart, Satan's organizational flowchart for the New World Order. And the way it works is you retain power, you protect power by compartmentalization, so that only a very tiny percentage of the people have the knowledge to rule and reign. And that's how the game works. When you look at organizational flowcharts for major corporations or businesses, you'll see at the top of a pyramid structure, you'll see the CEO, the CFO, you'll see the vice presidents, and various rankings. The higher your ranking, the closer you are to the top of the pyramid, and the more that you have complete knowledge of how all the other systems work. You're not in a compartmentalized or walled-off area of knowledge. So this is how mankind's systems have come together over thousands and thousands of years. When Adam and Eve fell in the Garden of Eden because they disobeyed God's word, they ate from the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden. They activated the law of sin and death. At that moment, Lucifer or Satan became the temporary god of this world. And in doing so, he created, Lucifer became the temporary god of this world by creating an organizational structure based on a pyramidical hierarchical power structure, where Lucifer places himself at the very top, and everybody to varying degrees is serving Lucifer as slaves. And he has all the power, at least on a temporary basis. So when we review mankind's history and we think of empires and emperors and empresses and royalty, etc., we see this age-old replication of power structures, organizational structures, or what's commonly known as a flowchart. Now, the dollar bill is packed with occult symbols. So, for example, on the right-hand side of a $1 bill, we see not an eagle, we see what appears to be a picture of the occult and legendary bird called the phoenix. Now, the phoenix is a legendary occult bird and symbol which symbolizes the New World Order also. And according to occult legends, the phoenix is burnt up, dies, and then resurrects from its ashes. So being that it's a symbol of the New World Order, what has to happen is that the New World Order is destroyed. It's burnt up as the phoenix is burnt up. And it then, the New World Order then resurrects from the ashes of the old and becomes a New World Order. Now, who put these occult symbols all over the dollar? men who were very, very high up in the hierarchical structure of the New World Order, those with occult or Luciferian training, people who you could call members of the Luciferian elite, people like Sir Francis Bacon, who was head of the Rosicrucians, which eventually became Illuminati. And Sir Francis Bacon was a brilliant scientist, but he was also one of the world's most powerful occult leaders. He predicted that the United States of America would, in the future, become the head of the New World Order, and Bacon predicted that the United States of America would become the New Atlantis. And why the New Atlantis? Because if you look at the secret societies, the secret occult societies that have permeated throughout human history and have gone from empire to empire, you notice particular things. And many of the heads of these occult secret societies, men and women like pharaohs and Nimrod, the head of Babylon, Mystery Babylon, and kings and queens, and people like Sir Francis Bacon himself, they publicly acted like they were atheists and humanists and merely scientists, but secretly they were very high up in the occult and had access to supernatural power and supernatural knowledge. So Sir Francis Bacon, being a student of history and not a dumbed-down student of history, he fully understood that the pharaoh, thousands and thousands of years ago, the pharaoh and his sailing ships sailed from ancient Egypt, where the Egyptian Empire was, and the pharaoh and his sailing ships sailed from ancient Egypt to the Americas, both North America and South America, both the Pacific coast and the East Coast and the West Coast, or the Atlantic coast, the Pacific and Atlantic coasts. And there is archaeological evidence today of the Egyptians having explored and investigated and settled all over the Americas. So, for example, Phoenix, Arizona, was apparently discovered by the ancient Egyptians. And the ancient Egyptians left their architectural relics. They left pyramid structures there. And they left evidence of their advanced science and technology. And when they explored the Americas and reported back to the Pharaoh God King, remember, in all these ancient super civilizations like Egypt and the Mayans and Incans and so on and so forth, and legendary Atlantis, they were heavily involved in the occult and accessing supernatural power. They had, for example, the pharaoh had approximately 300 heavy-duty occult or spiritual advisors. And the same thing could be found in other super civilizations or empires. And so they supernaturally predicted, with their psychics and their clairvoyance, they supernaturally predicted that far off into the future, America would be kind of like the head of the world. America would be the New World Order, and America would also be the New Atlantis. Now, Sir Francis Bacon picked up on this. Why? Because Sir Francis Bacon was deep reader of books. He studied, he researched. And you see, there's a basic principle in life that I try to share on this program as often as I can. And that is, knowledge gives you power. Civilizations, men and women, kings and queens, etc. The people who take the time to acquire knowledge, by default, they become people of power. So knowledge brings about power. And so they were able to look into the future and see America as this new Atlantis, because you see, the ancient super civilizations were aware of the legendary Atlantis. They believed that it existed. And the essential thesis regarding new Atlantis is this. And by the way, I explain all of this stuff that I've been talking about occult knowledge, about Atlantis, about technology, about Sir Francis Bacon. I explain all of this in my books, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World, Conquering the Matrix, A Prophecy of the Future of America, Volume 2. And all of these books and others are available to you right now, including The Day the Dollar Died, at a bundle discount. And you can save money if you order them now at paulmaguire.us. That's paulmaguire.us. But see, my desire and my burden has been this for a long time. I see God's people as being oppressed and as being brought into slavery in the USA and all across the world. And I don't believe, after reading and studying the Bible for 40 years, I don't believe for a moment that God's people being in slavery, God's people being dumbed down, I don't believe for a minute that that is the will of God. The will of God for his people is clearly outlined in Scripture. And God has a destiny for you and me to fulfill. But that destiny cannot be fulfilled unless we are in sync with what God wants us to have. That means God wants us to have knowledge, which brings about power. God wants us to have truth, which sets us free, and other things. This is absolutely critical to master. And I teach on all of this and more in my books, which you can get at a book bundle discount. The reason I've put all this information in my books, including my latest book, The Greatest Battle, is because I believe with every ounce of my being that it is not the will of God for his people to go into captivity, but it is the will of God for God's people to rule and reign, to exercise dominion on planet Earth, and to be the head and not the tail and other things. Why? Because God tells us about what his objective is over and over and over again, if we would simply read his word. Now, this is critical, because you see, we as the supernatural body of Christ on earth, we that are alive in the time period prior to the second coming of Jesus Christ, that's you and I. That's you and I. We are alive in the time period when Jesus will return at the second coming, his second coming. And God has an incredible mission, assignment, call upon our lives. Every one of you listening to the Paul Maguire Report, wherever you're listening to me from, whatever nation, whatever state in the USA, whatever island, whatever continent you're listening to me on, the words that I'm speaking, I believe by the grace of God, are anointed by the Holy Spirit. And God is sending you a message, and he's anointing it because of his grace, because God has a plan for you to fulfill. And it's imperative that you get a revelation of what God's plan is for your life. Why? Why? Why do you need a revelation? You need a revelation because, well, I don't mean to be corny, and forgive me for making a corny joke, but it won't be the first corny joke I make, and it probably won't be the last corny joke I make. Problem with making a corny joke on the radio in front of a microphone is when you say it, you're stuck with it. But I'll just have to take that risk. Here's the thing. What it comes down to is that line that Paul Newman said in that movie Cool Hand Luke, when the prison warden in the South says, "What we have here is a failure to communicate." Now, I'm using that as a metaphor because, indeed, what we have here between the body of Christ, between true Christians, and the biblical God, what we have here is a failure to communicate. And by that, I know I'm being a little corny, but I'm pushing it. But what we have here is a failure to communicate, because God has very clearly communicated through his word, through his teachings, a specific message that he wants us to understand. But the failure part is, the failure to communicate is that God is accurately communicating to us, but it's not getting through to us. It's like we're on a cell phone, and we drive into the mountains, and the signal's cut off, and we can't finish the conversation. So like somebody's trying to tell us how to finish the drive to their house or to get wherever we need to go, and we're in the mountains where the cell phone signal's weak, and our signal disconnects. Okay, so what we have there is a failure to communicate, and it can be costly. So God is communicating to his people a critically important message. It's so important. The message that God wants to communicate to you and me now is of such importance. It's not compartmentalized. It's not stuck at the base of an occult pyramid. It's front and center in our lives. And God wants to communicate this to us for the following reasons. Number one, God is love. Therefore, God's most passionate, overwhelming desire, God's highest priority above anything else, is to send people like you and me out to win souls to Jesus Christ, to make disciples of all nations, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. This is critical for God, and God considers those things so important that he actually gives it a title. It's called the Great Commission. God has called us to fulfill the Great Commission above anything else. What is the Great Commission? Well, once again, it's preaching the gospel to all the world. It's making disciples of all nations. It's occupying until he comes. But that's that and more is the Great Commission. That's our number one assignment. That's why it's such a high priority. So God wants us, because it's such a high priority, to understand how he feels about it and to understand how to fulfill the Great Commission. So we've learned from reading our Bibles that God is love. Therefore, his primary motivation always stems and flows from love. God is love. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. So, out of the truth that God is love, we also know God doesn't want anyone to perish. God doesn't want anyone to miss heaven and go to hell. God wants every man and woman alive to put their faith in Jesus Christ and be saved and be born again. Why? God is love. This mythology that you and I have been taught through the educational system and the media and governmental systems and the United Nations and all these different systems, this mythology that planet Earth is running out of food, is running out of resources, that planet Earth, most of all, is overpopulated, and planet Earth is going to self-destruct because it's no longer sustainable. I hate to break it to you, but that's not true. That is not the true truth. It's a partial truth, but it's not the full truth. God is omniscient, which means he's all-knowing. God created planet Earth from the very beginning in Genesis. God is a super, 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 super genius. He doesn't make mistakes when he created the earth. And therefore, God pre-planned when he created the earth. God created the earth to be, above all things, sustainable. Because after all, how could God be a God of love and be so dumb at the same time and go around telling people that God loves you, and yet God did not create the earth with enough resources and with the proper ecosystems and the proper environmental balances? God didn't create the earth in the beginning to be sustainable. No, that's a paradox. That couldn't possibly be. How can God be all-knowing and all stupid at the same time? If he's love, God is love. So there's no way God created the world, okay? There's no way. Use the logical brain that God gave you. There's no way God could have created the earth. And he tells Adam and Eve, tells mankind. But what does he tell them? In the first chapters of Genesis, he says, be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. And then after the flood of Noah, what does he tell Noah and his sons and their families? Be fruitful and multiply. What does that mean? Be fruitful and multiply. You know, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that out. God's primary mandate is for us to be fruitful and multiply. Okay? This is critical. You know, it is. If you say you worship God at your church, I'm gonna give you an opportunity to exercise the mind of Christ that God has given you. If you say you worship God at your church, or you worship God, if you claim to be a worshiper of God, let's test that and see if that's true or not. If you get together and you're worshiping God, that implies that you're praising God, you're thanking God, you're saying verbally things that are true about God as you praise him. Like, God, we praise you, God, that you're loving. We praise you that you've given us more than enough food to eat, et cetera, et cetera. Okay? We speak true things about God. And so God tells us in the book of Genesis, he tells Adam and Eve and mankind to be fruitful and multiply. That's in every area of life. But the first area of being fruitful and multiplying is in the area of sexual reproduction. Why is that important to God? It's important to God because God is love. Because God is love, God wants as many children, boys and girls, men and women, God wants as many people saved as can possibly be saved. And God wants as many people as he can possibly bring with him into heaven. Okay? That's God's plan. Because God's love, God has a desire for loving friendship and pure spiritual intimacy with his creation. Okay, so God doesn't tell mankind, God doesn't tell Adam and Eve in the beginning, be fruitful and multiply. He doesn't tell them that, and yet, secretly, he's holding out on them, and secretly, he knows that he blew it, and he didn't create planet Earth to be sustainable. So the reality is, if Adam and Eve are really being fruitful and multiplying like the rest of the human race, because God blew it and did not create the earth to be sustainable, if mankind obeys God and we are fruitful and multiplying, then we would have negative results like droughts and mass starvation and food shortages and pandemics and diseases and wars and rumors of wars. In other words, the entire ecological system would go into a free fall and a meltdown. Why? Because God, in our hypothetical scenario, God gives two contradictory commands. He says to Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply. In other words, make as many babies as you can. But that implies that God is who he is, that he's omniscient, all-knowing. So he would have created the earth from the beginning, in the beginning, to be sustainable. That means that in scientific terms, if there really is a God, and this God is the creator, then God could not have created planet Earth to stop being sustainable. God wouldn't have told us to be fruitful and multiply, and then after we hit, like, you know, let's take an arbitrary number, all of a sudden the population of planet Earth moves from, let's say, 7 billion to 14 billion. That would imply that the apocalypse has already started, a biological apocalypse, mass starvation, mass disruption of weather patterns, disease outbreaks, wars and rumors of wars, all kinds of things would plunge the earth into a self-destruct mode because God would have blown it and he didn't pre-plan properly for the earth to be sustainable. Now, that's impossible because God is God. He's the supreme being. He's all-knowing. So, obviously, God knew what he was doing when he created the earth and mankind, and he pre-planned and created the earth to be sustainable. That means we don't run out of energy. We don't run out of food. We don't run out of a pure, clean environment. We don't run out of anything because the earth was created by God to be more than sustainable. God isn't having an anxiety attack up there in heaven, sitting on the throne room, because he's worried that, oh, if the earth has a population of, let's say, 14 billion people, you know, the entire earth is going to go into an ecological apocalypse. It's not going to happen because the earth is sustainable. I know that your brain has been brainwashed through repetitive indoctrination and programming. You have been programmed to believe mythologies about the sustainability of planet Earth. You have been told that the Earth is not sustainable. You have been told that the Earth is already in an environmental meltdown. You have been told that the Earth is already overpopulated. You have already been told 100 different ways, that the number one crisis, the number one problem facing planet Earth, at least according to the globalist elite, is overpopulation. That overpopulation is our greatest problem. But in fact, that's not true. Our greatest problem is not overpopulation or lack of food. Our greatest problem is the sinful nature of man's hearts. Because it's not the lack of food that's causing mass starvation. It's the greed and selfishness in mankind's hearts, where governments and dictatorships and oligarchs and globalist elite types, they are controlling the flow of the supply of water and food, and they are not dispersing it fairly. And it is for that reason we have droughts and food shortages and diseases and wars and stuff. See, the reasons are artificial and man-made. It has nothing to do with God not being intelligent enough to make Earth sustainable. The philosopher and engineer and inventor Buckminster Fuller used an expression. He called Earth Spaceship Earth because he was trying to teach mankind that we need to protect Spaceship Earth because the human race is on a spaceship, Spaceship Earth, with a limited amount of resources. So we need to take care of Spaceship Earth. Well, you can do that. You can simultaneously take care of Spaceship Earth and simultaneously be a good steward of our environment and simultaneously not go into an ecological meltdown. The two things are not contradictory. So that's what we're facing here. You see, as I said many times in the Paul McGuire Report, bad ideas have bad consequences. Good ideas have good consequences. Okay, so let's hit this again, because this is imperative. You know, God is not pleased with his people being stupid. Stupidity is the result of laziness and a lack of willingness to obey God's commandments that he repeats throughout the Bible, such as the book of Proverbs, where he tells us over and over again to pursue knowledge, to pursue wisdom and guidance like you would pursue precious gold and fine jewels. We are to pursue knowledge and wisdom, because knowledge and wisdom give us power and answers and keep us from being slaves. All right, you're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. We're going to be back in a moment with some of those answers. You need to master these answers. The world has had it up to its ears with dumb Christians. They've lost patience with dumb Christians. They want to talk to Christians that have a brain. They want to talk to Christians that are on their game, not off their game. They want to talk to Christians that convey both humility and love, but also a sense of power and confidence, because they just don't know about God. They know their God. That's what God wants from his people. That's the way God wants his people to play the game at the end of the age. And that's what this ministry is all about. It's to equip God's people to be overcomers, to not be slaves, and to be able to fulfill our God-given destiny. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. Spread our links far and wide. Visit paulmcguire.us, and we'll be back in just a moment. You are listening to the Paul McGuire Report. This is Paul McGuire. And wherever you're listening on planet Earth, be assured that planet Earth is sustainable. Now, it is true because of the greed, the avarice, the sinful nature, the selfishness of mankind. Because of those reasons, there's criminal mismanagement of our resources. And that criminal mismanagement leads to a threat of the earth not being sustainable. But you see, the crisis of sustainability is not based upon the earth itself being created, with defects by God. There's no defects in the earth created by God. The so-called shortages and the problems which threaten our sustainability, which threaten our environment, have to do with the greed and selfishness and cruelty and sinful nature of mankind, because mankind is not operating from a place of divine love or the love of God. By that, I mean that mankind is out of sync with the God of the Bible, because the God of the Bible is love. Everything he does is based on love. So every action, every thought, every plan that God has is based on spiritual love. Mankind is not resonating or not in tune with the love of God. Mankind has been infected with sin and death, and mankind is functioning as a predator, as a serial killer that is serving by default Satan, because Satan is going about seeking whom he may kill, steal, and destroy from, because Satan is pure evil. But when mankind rejected God and began to obey the words of Lucifer, who came in the form of a reptilian being, then mankind began to embrace pure evil and operate on the basis of pure evil. That's the great threat to the human race today. The threat is not, oh, there's too many people. The threat is that there's too many people whose consciousness has been dominated by evil. Okay, so where do we go from here? We are, as I've said with the title of my book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World. That's where we are right now. We're in this greatest battle for the hearts and minds of mankind in the history of the world. This battle is taking place in the battlefields of the human imagination, the human mind, the human memory, emotions, the human brain, our thoughts, our choices, whether or not we yield to temptation or we resist temptation, whether or not we choose to, by faith, walk in the Spirit, and the Spirit infuses us with love or not. All of these things are the result of whether you and I and every other human alive, whether we choose to walk in a supernatural relationship with Jesus Christ, who is love. Now, there are so many critical areas in this battlefield, and what God's expectation for his people, Christians, is that they have, first of all, biblical knowledge, and second of all, that they have knowledge that comes from a biblical worldview. When God's people have knowledge that comes with a biblical worldview, then they're spiritually armed and dangerous in terms of defeating evil and demons. But they have to have knowledge which gives them power. The Christian culture and the body of Christ and Christians in America and around the world several hundred years ago made a fatal, fatal theological flaw, a theological error, in that they decided to reject truth in every area of life. They decided to reject knowledge and science in every area of life because they falsely divided up reality into different compartments or like different slices in a pizza pie. And God wants his people to be able to take the integrity and knowledge of his word and apply it through a biblical worldview to every area of life. Therefore, a true biblical Christian who's truly being taught the word of God, who's truly being discipled with the word of God, who's truly growing with the word of God, is going to be in sync with God's knowledge and wisdom as it applies to every area of life, which includes science, education, sexuality, government, law, ecology, you name it. The truth of God's word applies to every area of life, not just the superficially designated spiritual areas. Okay? So let's talk about the reason for knowledge. Okay, so we went through a period of time in America recently. We went through a period of time where all hell broke loose on the streets of America. Riots, violence, looting. And there were all kinds of motives for the violence and the riots and the looting. And essentially, people were embarking on a game plan that they thought would positively change our world for the better, but they were doing so on the basis of false data, false knowledge, bad ideas, which produce bad consequences. And let me just spell out this. And this, you see, this should be taught in every Christian high school, in every Christian college, in every Christian university. And Christian students, instead of walking around as if they were stuck in a bewildered state, should be the smartest and the sharpest and the most truly educated of any group of people. Why? Because they're the children of God. They have the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit living inside them, and they have the mind of Christ if they choose to use the mind of Christ by faith. So let's look at history, because history, if we learn the lessons of history, then we will not be doomed to repeat the previous mistakes we've made. And America, there's only one reason why America became the greatest nation on planet Earth. Yes, it has faults, but despite its faults, America became the greatest nation on planet Earth. Only one nation has an American dream. Only one nation are people fleeing to, risking their lives, and that's America. Only one nation still has a tremendous amount of freedoms, like freedom of religion, freedom of press, freedom of assembly, freedom of speech, etc., etc., and that's the United States of America. Why? What makes the United States of America, with all of its faults, there's room for growth? We got it. We got it. There's room for growth. And there's problems that must be acknowledged and solved. Okay, we got it. But here is the critical factor. We need to understand why America produced so much freedom, so much prosperity, despite all of its faults. And it's simply this, if you study history, and I explain all of this in a high-velocity, easy-to-understand, fun, yeah, fun, don't be uptight about the word fun. I explain how to understand all this historical stuff on like a rocket ride in my book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World. You read that book, you will know more than 99% of the professors of history and theology and all kinds of other subjects that are teaching in Christian colleges and universities, right? So that's a big claim. Well, I'd be lying if I made any other claim. You read The Greatest Battle and you'll know what's going on because you'll know what history. You know, the only people that are asking the question, what's going to happen next, are the people who still don't get what happened in the past and what happened in the present. For crying out loud, right now, this is a test on whether I'm going to go full-on ballistic carnal, okay? Or as they say in California, when you pull up to one of the most popular hamburger places, and I just forgot the name of it. But when you act, those of you from California will know what hamburger place I'm talking about. And like my son and his friends and stuff, when we pull up, he orders like three hamburgers, you know, meat patties stacked into one, and he orders it animal style. And animal style is like all the sauce and onions and everything on French fries, which are cut from a freshly cooked potato and chopped up. It's all fresh. What is the name of the hamburger place? I can't remember, but full-on animal style. I don't order full-on animal style because, let's just put it this way, my son and myself are in two different age categories, all right? So, but what you need, what God's people need, is the spiritual equivalent a full-on animal style of knowledge and power and understanding of ideas, philosophies, and wisdom. Because, look, I hate to break it to you. It's time to get out of the cradle. Really, it's pathetic. The devil's crowd are dumbed down, okay? Because they're all watching the body parts of Beyonce or Jay-Z and whoever, okay? They're all distracted. They're all diverted. They don't know anything about anything. God's people are not supposed to be on that assembly line that's labeled dumbed down. God's people are not supposed to be dumbed down. They're supposed to be spiritually armed and dangerous. They're actually supposed to be a threat to the devil, not a pacifier to the devil. Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, do you understand what I'm saying? Because I'm serious about this. Knowledge is power. And any simpleton can figure out that if you don't have knowledge, you don't have power. And if you don't have power, you're going to be taken out, stomped down. And if you think that the enemies of the gospel of Jesus Christ, if you think in your delusion, if you think that they're going to stop with the books of Dr. Seuss. You understand, right? They're censoring. They're taking away. They're locking up. And I guess eventually they're going to burn the books for children written by Dr. Seuss, which are like harmless. I'm telling you this now, right to your face. If they're coming after the books of Dr. Seuss, it will be less. It will be in a very short period of time. If they're coming after Dr. Seuss books now, they are coming after your Bibles soon. Does that upset you? Does that wake you up from your fog state? It should, because I'm telling you this right now. If the people in our nation are crazy enough, and they are, because they're being incited through psyops. Figure it out. Read my book, Conquering the Matrix, and you'll understand how they can be incited through psyops. if they're already in a full tilt boogie mode, and they are, and they're coming after Dr. Seuss books, they're going to come after your Bibles next. They're coming after your Bibles next. You've been warned. I've been talking about this stuff for 40 years, and I've been right. I don't claim that I'm a prophet, blah, 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 blah. But I've been right the overwhelming majority of the time. And not because I had a vision of Mother Mary came to me speaking words of wisdom. Let it be, let it be. Now, you know why I didn't get hired after my audition for the Beatles in Liverpool. But, you know, I wasn't waiting on Mother Mary. I don't claim to have these visions, and then the visions don't come true. If you're going around announcing visions to the world, and then you have to apologize for being wrong about your visions, or worse yet, you were wrong about your visions and you didn't have the humility to apologize, guess what? It's time for you to self-retire yourself from being a prophet, or take a sabbatical. And instead of spending your time sending out press releases calling yourself a prophet, spend some time reading the Bible. Because there's no way you could be, that anybody could be wrong as many times as you've been wrong. And that's causing a lot of people to stumble in the body of Christ and outside the body of Christ. So let's get down to this, okay? You can know what's going to happen in the near future. Everybody's saying, what's going to happen next? What's going to happen next? We're crying out loud. Don't be so incredibly stupid and ask the question as if you were a 100% certified moron. Don't keep asking the question, what's going to happen next? What's going to happen next? Like you're out of breath. Yes, that is an important question. I'm not knocking you for asking an important question, but I am challenging you as your brother in Christ to go the whole distance. And what God really wants you to be asking is not what happens next, because he already told you, if you bothered to acquire knowledge from his word, if you bothered to acquire knowledge from his word and get a biblical worldview, which includes understanding history from the perspective of the Bible, you wouldn't have to ask the question, what happens next? You would know for a certainty what's going to happen next, because history teaches us lessons. So let me just spill it out for you. It's really, really easy. I explain it all in my books, Conquering the Matrix, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World. I'm cutting the prices for you. Read, for crying out loud. Do something different. Read. Okay. Well, the French had a revolution after the American Revolution. The French Revolution ended up killing Christians by the thousands and ending up the people, the revolutionaries, built guillotines and chopped off the heads of Christians. They seized the churches. They had sexual orgies in the churches. There was blood in the streets. Why did the French Revolution go so horribly bad and the American Revolution went so well? Very simple answer. If you read history, read The Greatest Battle. Because the American Revolution was based on the beliefs of the Pilgrims and Puritans, who believed in the Bible and studied the Bible. The foundation of the American Revolution was biblical truth. The foundation of the French Revolution, a few years later, was secular humanistic lies and socialism. Now, where did that lead the French people? First of all, the French philosophers, if you bother to study it, the French philosophers openly wrote and spoke about just how much they despised and hated Christianity. So what the French philosophers did, who were the leaders of the French Revolution, And remember, the French Revolution was the model and the game plan for Marxist, communist, socialist revolutions everywhere. The revolutionaries in France were very much like the revolutionaries in the streets of America recently. They were burning and looting stores, except in France, they took it further. They began stringing up all the ministers. They were hanging the ministers of the gospel. They were chopping their heads off on guillotines. They were having sexual orgies in the sanctuaries. They drove out 30,000 ministers under military force. They were slaughtering them. They were confiscating the churches. They were shutting down the churches. They were burning down the churches. And they were setting up a brutal, iron-fisted dictatorship. Because guess what? Humanism doesn't work. Why? Because humanism is based on the mythology that man can be really loving without God. And we all know what happens when man is in control and not God. Man is selfish, man is sinful, man is brutal. It's only the love of God and being cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ that gives us the capacity to love our neighbors as ourselves. I wish I had more time to get into it, but we're out of time. Visit paulmaguire.us, that's paulmaguire.us. Spread this message far and wide. We have hundreds of hours of teaching for you, free, on the Roku channel. We have backup social media, backup video, backup internet. We have hundreds, if not thousands of hours free of the Paul Maguire Report, our archives for you. We have videos for you. We have conferences for you. We got a ton of stuff for you. And the only thing we charge for is books, because books are costly to print and publish and postage. Help. We are in a battle for the hearts and minds of America. If the people of America continue to be sucker punched as they have been, they are going to follow the exact same path as the idealistic revolutionaries in the French Revolution. And there will be blood in the streets of America. I guarantee it. Study history. And if you're going to a church where they're like the boy in the plastic bubble movie, get out of there. God didn't create you to live in a plastic bubble. He created you to not only live in reality, but to rule and reign and exercise the dominion of Jesus Christ in this reality by winning souls. God bless you. This is Paul Maguire. Visit paulmaguire.us. That's paulmaguire.us.